Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. We welcome you this morning to Barbie's Grove. We also want to welcome all those that might be in the parking lot this morning as we have that available to them, and also on the webcast, the websites. So those will be there listening for that, and we welcome you all and to the Lord's Day and to worship here at Barbie's Grove. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity you've given us to be back in your house, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us. And now, Lord, as we go forward today in our service today, Lord, we know and we make sure that we always give you the glory and honor for it all. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to worship your name today. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Well, good morning again, and I want to welcome all the visitors this morning. You are indeed our special guest, and we want to say welcome to you as well, the pastor and his family, Miss Sarah and Brian, Maggie and Hannah. We welcome you all this morning, special guests, and it won't be long. You'll be going back to Australia, and so that'll be quite a trip, and we'll certainly miss you. And we've grown to love you so much through this short time we've been able to be. And then we have a special speaker today, a guest speaker today, Brandon Elkins, and his family is here on the front pew there. And we welcome all of you here, and indeed you are our special guest this morning, as we go this morning. And the first thing we always do every Sunday morning, we do a hymn sing, the hymn of the church. And I still love these old hymns of the church, and today we're going to do communion service, so thought it might be a good one to do here. Here at your table, Lord, page 366, it'll be on the board, so you can stand, if you would, please, with me and sing both verses of Here at Your Table, Lord. Someone this morning, if you would, please. We'll take this opportunity to give you a few announcements that I have before me this morning. Remember now, Wednesday night was prayer Bible study and prayer service, and Pastor Ed will be here, and you need to come and be with us. We have a wonderful time. We always have good discussion, and I learn something every single time I come and study God's Word. And that's wonderful, because sometimes you've been reading a verse for a long, long time, and then this time God's Spirit and Pastor Ed pointing it out gives you something brand new. So it's a challenge. Come and be with us on Wednesday night. We should have you do that. Our special speaker today, Brandon Elkins, and I'll introduce him in a little bit and his family. We welcome you all again. Also next, we have February the 5th. We're going to have a special guest speaker here. It'll be will be for the Pregnancy Resource Center and during the worship service. And so we also are going to be taking an offering through that month. And Rita, do you have something you want to add to that, please?
I understand, through the month of February, we will be taking up for the Pregnancy Resource Center. I have just put in here some plain red envelopes. February is the month of love, and how better can we show our love than to, you know, than to be given to someone in need? Our little banner, our little thing here says, "Love spoken here." And we know, you know, actions speak louder than words. This is a very worthwhile ministry, and I'm excited about the lady that's going to come speak next week, and I know it'll be an informative service. There's some brochures up here, you know, little pamphlets and stuff if you want to pick up some, just grab your envelope. And Brenda, oh, there you are. Any red envelope, it just goes to the PRC. I don't have anything printed on them. If you want to write them a message, please feel free. You know, like we're taking up an offering, but if you don't feel led to do an offering, you know, a pack of diapers or a pack of wipes or anything that can be used for this outreach will be greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. I appreciate your leadership in this matter. This is a wonderful cause and a needed cause for our support. I also have going to advise the Golden Agers, and I used to say the word and spell the word Golden Agers, and now I realize I are one, and it makes me feel so good that I can be part of this wonderful group. And so the Golden Agers will be meeting here at the church on February the 23rd, and we'll have a meal here of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And who doesn't like chicken? Well, some people might not. The pastor doesn't, so we won't do that. But Kentucky Fried Chicken. So please, there's a sign-up sheet out here, right, Brenda? And be sure to come and be with us. And let's have some wonderful fellowship together. That's what it's all about. Not so much the food, but it's all about the fellowship. Are there any announcements now I may have overlooked that I need to share? All right, and that be the case, we'll move along. We'll move along to our prayer request. We've had several prayer requests this morning that has been given to me already. And I want to remember, of course, we want to pray for Brother Brandon today as he comes and speaks to us. Heather Williams. You don't know Heather Williams. I was in the laundry. I went to pick up my laundry, and the woman behind the counter in Locust said, I know that you're a Christian, and I want to talk to you and ask your prayer for my daughter. She has cancer, and I'd like for you to remember her in prayer. I told her I would pray for her, and also that we would remember her at our church today, Heather Williams. Let's remember Rosina. Rosina today is not feeling well, and Tony as well. Both of them not feeling well, under the weather today. Let's remember them. Are there others that I need to remember? Yes.
Baron
Shepherd. Who?
Farron.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we have
supposed to
have surgery today or yesterday. I'm not sure
who's supposed to.
Okay.
All right.
No,
okay. Yes.
I had an appointment Friday.
Oh, okay. Angela.
And I had a scan done Wednesday, and they, thank God it's not cancer, but they did saw two spots in my throat. One, it was my thyroid. It was up to a 7. And then the other one they saw, it was a little dot, not the size of the end of a pencil. They saw they're going to keep eye on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Angela, we definitely will. Thank you, dear. Anyone else? Yes, Kathy.
My friend Wendy Lauder had COVID in December, and she's really young. She's in her 40s, but she had to go to ICU this past week with a blood clot. She's home today, but if you guys would keep her in prayers,
okay.
She'll heal from that.
Wendy Lauder, COVID. Okay. Yes, Stacy. Okay.
At the VA, and also Lauren and David's mom are going to go to the Charleston to the heart doctor and heart specialist that Judy goes to, because Lauren has the same thing that they
okay.
have, but she's going there to get a second opinion on what
Okay. Yes, okay. Others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you again this morning, we come to you now, Lord, and before we ask you for anything, Lord, we want to first say thank you. Thank you for the blessings you've already given us. Thank you for the fact that we are here and able to be here. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors who are with us this morning. We indeed welcome them, and we pray for them. And then, Lord, we pray for our service today. We pray for Brother Brandon as he will be coming and ministering to us. We pray, Lord, for your support and guidance for him. And, Lord, we pray for our church as we go forward. And, Lord, we pray for your blessings upon us. But now, Lord, as we go and we think about those who have been, we need to remember specifically, Lord, I want to lift them up to you, Lord, as we hear this morning. We want to pray for and ask your blessings upon Heather Williams this morning, upon Miss Rosina and Tony, as they're both under the weather this morning. We pray for them. And we pray for Tracy and as he has going test, and for Miss Little Laura, Lord, we pray for her as she is going to cardiac and have some cardiac tests as well. And then Wendy Louder for COVID, Lord, we ask and pray for her. And Lord, I know there's many, many others, Lord, maybe that I do not know. But Lord, you know them and you know what their needs are. And we lift them up to you. We have a large prayer list, Lord, that we keep in our minds and our prayers. And we pray for them. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we pray for Miss Tonda that she'll be coming and directing us, Lord, in praise. We pray for her. We thank you, Lord, for all those who are willing to work each and every Sunday. And Lord, we thank you for their service. And now, Lord, we don't want to forget, Lord, Pastor Ed and his family, Lord, we pray for them this morning. We pray, Lord, you continue to give them strength and give them courage. And Lord, give them peace beyond all understanding. And Lord, I know you will, and you already have. And then, Lord, these blessings, now, Lord, I pray in your name, in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Miss Tonda, if you would, please. Tonda is a member of our praise team, and she's going to come now and direct us and our praise music this morning. And so you come and share with us, Tonda.
Good morning. Continuing on with our Communion Sunday, I would like for everyone to join me as we do Nothing But the Blood. Nothing But the Blood is one of our favorite hymns. For the cross, suffering, and death of our Lord Jesus. It's just a new version. So enjoy it with me as we stand together and just reflect on our service for today for our communion service.
Me.
Thank you, Ms. Tonda. Appreciate that so much. That was beautiful. Now, children, you are dismissed. We've already told you it is our communion Sunday. If you have not received, if you don't have one of these little packs of the elements, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you quickly. Okay. Thank you, David. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce our visiting speaker today, Brandon Elkins. Brandon is a young, called to preach minister, and he has not been ordained yet, but he is an ordained deacon, right, Brandon? And we want to welcome you this morning. Brandon is the discipleship minister, has been there for 6 years at the First Baptist Locust, and he's, as I said, he's been called into the ministry. And young man, and I know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. There'll be challenges for you, but God is able, right? And we support you here, and he's an ordained deacon as well. Brandon, we will not do what this had a pastor tell me about one time. He had finished his sermon, and he went back and shook the hand of a little girl back there, and he said, "Well, dear, what did you think of the service today?" And she said, "Well, I have to tell you, I had to be quiet. Mama made me be quiet." And he said, "Well, do you know why she said that, don't you?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Yes, everyone was asleep." Brandon, you come on. We won't go asleep. We won't be asleep. God bless you, Brandon.
I don't know. As a kid, them Sunday morning naps were always the best ones, in my opinion. But it is my pleasure, my honor to be here to share with you all, to be here and to partake in the Lord's Supper with you all, and just to worship with you, everyone here today. So thank you for the honor of being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24, and we will pick up today at verse number 13. For many of us who have been in church for some time, this is a somewhat familiar passage of Scripture for us, the Emmaus Road narrative that Luke gives us in his gospel. Luke chapter 24, and we'll start at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Let's take a moment to pray together. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just are so humbled. Lord, we are so honored to be able to enter into your presence. Lord, to be able to stand before your throne, to be able to open up your inerrant, your infallible, your holy, authoritative, truthful word. Your word which guides and directs every step of our life. Your word which convicts the hearts of men. Your word which comforts the hearts of the broken. Your word which gives wisdom and understanding when there is none. Now, Lord, as we approach this time to study your word, our prayer, Lord, is that you would speak to our hearts. May we have ears to hear you speaking. May our hearts be open that your spirit may change and transform us. May you give us eyes to behold even just a glimpse of the glory of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. History tells us of a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was a very wealthy man. He was a lawyer and he owned much land, as he was also a businessman. His life was going well for him. He had a wonderful family. He had a wife. He had three daughters. And then his wife found out that she was pregnant with their first son. Times were joyful. Times were flourishing for the Spafford family. Tragically, their two-year-old son suffered an illness and ended up passing. This man who owned much business and much land ended up losing most of it in the Great Chicago Fire in the 1800s. After suffering much loss financially and within their family, Horatio said to his wife that he and his wife and their daughters would take a trip to London to have a time of vacation, to have a time of relaxing. Business had come up on the home front and Horatio had to stay back while his wife and his daughters went on ahead. The boat that these ladies were in was struck by a storm. The ship sank. Most of the passengers lost their lives, including all three of Horatio's daughters. His wife made it alive, made it to the shore of London, and she sent a note over to her husband, which read, Saved alone. what shall I do? Many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, find ourselves in times like Horatio, where life seems to be going right. Everything is going good. There's nothing but sunshine on our path. And suddenly, destruction takes over. And suddenly, misery begins to settle in our lives. We go through times of hopelessness. We go through seasons where jobs are lost, where finances are tight, families are torn apart. We go through times of loss and loneliness. And the truth of the matter is, if you haven't been through a season like this, the truth is you will. We all go through them. These seasons of darkness. Life is full of sorrows, tragedies, miseries, and it leaves us walking a difficult road. It leaves us walking down a road that we just want to quit and give up, because now all hope is gone. When we get to Luke chapter 24, that's where these two men are. They're walking a dark road. They're walking a road of hopelessness. They're walking a road full of darkness and despair. They're walking the road from the cross. And that's where we find these two men. But today I want to share with you three aspects of this road that these two men are walking, this road that many, if not all of us, have walked at some life. The road from the cross. The first is that this is a road of despair. It's a road of despair. This event, as we see in the beginning of this passage, this event is happening on the day of the resurrection. This is supposedly supposed to be a joyful day for those who knew Christ, who had followed him and heard his teachings. For them, this was supposed to be a day of celebration, a day of joy, a day of excitement. And yet all these two men can focus on is the dark tragedy of the cross. These, as followers of Christ, they knew the cost of the cross. They knew that it was necessary for him to have suffered these things. Yet in the dark shadow that the cross had cast, they had failed to see the light even when he was right beside of them. These two had hoped for a miracle, but they did not expect the Messiah. It leads us to compare this to John chapter 11, where Mary and Martha have their brother Lazarus, who is sick, nearing the end of his life. They sent word to Jesus, "Lazarus is sick. Come quickly." 3 days pass and Jesus still hasn't shown up. And there they are with their dead brother. Jesus shows up and the first thing Mary and Martha say to Jesus, "If only you had been here. If only you had shown up. We wouldn't be planning a funeral. We wouldn't have lost our brother. We wouldn't be in sorrow. We wouldn't be mourning." To these two men on this road, Jesus was supposed to be their Redeemer. He was supposed to be the true one to rescue Israel. He was supposed to be the true King of the Jews. And now he's dead. They're in despair. No one has seen his body. All there is an empty tomb. The women have been in it. Some of the apostles up to this point have been in the empty tomb. But not a single one has seen Jesus. Life is bleak and it's hopeless. After all, even they said, it's already been 3 days. No doubt remembering that Jesus himself had said, after 3 days, I'll return. Well, here it is, 3 days, and where is he? In their despair, the miracle that they were hoping for, even standing right beside of them, they couldn't see because darkness had taken over. They were walking the road of despair. But the road from the cross is also a road of dependence. In the midst of their darkness, in the midst of the sorrow they were going through, being able to see the depressed state of these two men, Jesus tells them that they're foolish. In the pitiful state that they are in, they have ignorantly put their faith in the words of men rather than God. They were relying on the witness of the women. They were relying on the witness of the apostles. But they did not rely on the words that Jesus had said to them. So Jesus does, as any great teacher, any great preacher would do, and he shows them that their faith is in the wrong thing. He shows them that they need to be dependent on the written word of God. In verse 27, he says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. From the entirety of the Old Testament, Jesus himself taught them everything about him. Man, that's a sermon I'd like to hear. Teaching them everything from the beginning of Genesis all the way through the end of Malachi, everything in the Old Testament about himself. The reason Jesus could do that is because, as Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture points to Christ. And upon this text, a scholar is known to say, we should not understand this as a selection of a number of proof texts, but rather as showing that throughout the Old Testament, a consistent divine purpose is worked out. A purpose that in the end meant and must mean the cross. In other words, as Jesus is teaching these men, he's showing them that he was the seed of the woman. He was the blessing of Abraham, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the true Passover lamb, the true son and future king of David, the suffering savior in Psalm 22, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. Showing them that you need to depend on the words of God. Don't worry about what everyone else says around you. Don't worry about what everyone is seeing about them. Focus on what God is telling you. Because what God is going to tell you is nothing more and nothing less than the truth that we need. Further than that, Jesus showed them that they should be dependent not just on the written word of God, but on the living word of God, Jesus himself. At this point in their journey, this was the only person they could rely on to help them through the road. They haven't approached anyone else. And the Bible says that as they are going and getting close to the village, Jesus starts to go further. And the Bible says that they urged him to stay with them. This urging is a picture of a forceful constraint. You can almost see them grabbing his arm saying, whoa, don't just leave us yet. It's almost nighttime. Just come stay with us for a little bit. And interesting enough, the request of these men for Christ to stay with them is the same command that Jesus gave in John chapter 15 when he said, "Abide in me." This desire is for intimate fellowship. They said, "Stay with us. Don't leave us. Come be with us." They were showing that they had true dependence on the wisdom and the presence of this man. If there was anyone who was going to get them through the end of the road, if there was anyone who was going to get them through the end of their despair, it was this man. This man who could teach through the entire Old Testament everything about the Messiah, everything about what he would do. They said, "Just stay with us. You'll be able to help us." They depended on Christ. And notice that it was through this intimate fellowship, it was through this gathering around the table, that as they broke the bread, their eyes were opened, and God revealed that the Messiah was there. When we are on the road from the cross, when we are walking a road that is leading to nowhere, and we desire to have this intimate fellowship, God says, "I've never left you. I've always been there. I've walked the road with you." He's always been there, and he always will be. The road from the cross, it's a road of despair, it's a road of dependence, but it's also a road of delight. Within just a matter of hours, these two men had felt lost, depressed, hopeless, fearful, even abandoned by God. And now that they had seen the risen Christ, all of the pain that they had felt, all of the hopelessness they experienced, all of the fears they had faced, they had all been washed away. They had all been taken care of. And the experience of Christ's presence with them had caused such a burning passion within them that they couldn't help but go tell everyone. This road that they were traveling, the Bible says it was about 7 miles. No doubt would probably have taken about half a day, if not close to a full day, to get to where they were going. But I could bet you money that in verse 33, where it says they got up that very hour, it took them 5 minutes to get to everyone they wanted to tell, to say, "Guess what, guys? He is risen." No doubt, now they had truly remembered the testimony of the women at the tomb. They had remembered that they said that the tomb was empty. They remembered that they said that they went in and didn't see his body. They remembered that they said that the cloth was folded up. They remembered that they said that the stone had just been moved away. They remembered seeing the angels. They remembered hearing these people. And now that they had seen it with their eyes, the joy and the fiery passion within them, they couldn't contain it anymore. They were finally filled with delight. I want to read to you very quickly from John's account of the resurrection. And I want you to hear the joy that Mary Magdalene faced in seeing the risen Christ. John says, "But Mary, who was standing outside the tomb, was weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him.' And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Can't you just hear Mary walking into the room where the other 11 disciples are still in darkness, are still in hopelessness, are still in shock of seeing Jesus on the cross? And you can just hear Mary running in saying, "Guys, I've seen him. He's alive." She was filled with the delight from the road of the cross. The truth of the resurrection impacted these people because now their hope was living and real. They had seen him. They had talked to him. They had touched him. And this same truth should just impact us the same today. If he was truly alive then praise God, hallelujah, he is just as alive today and forevermore. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 these words, "This perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is the delight of the road from the cross. The true delight, the true joy of the pain of the cross is found nowhere else but in the hope of the empty tomb and the risen Christ. The road from the cross is going to be a dark road, but there is always a light at the end of the road because the cross has not been the final word. Horatio Spafford, in suffering all of these tragedies that he had faced, losing his 2-year-old son, much of his business, and now his 3 daughters, decided it was time for him to get on a ship to go to his grieving wife in London. And as he's on the boat, the captain of the ship came to him in the middle of their voyage, and he said, "Sir, I do not wish to disturb you, but the place that we are about to pass is the same place that claimed the lives of your daughters." And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit of God moved upon this man. And he began to write these words, words that we still say today. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." My question to you today is, where are you on the road from the cross? Are you in the place of despair where darkness has just seemingly taken over and there is no more hope to be found? Maybe you're on this road and you're depending on the wrong things to get you through. And it seems that as if everything you are depending on is just leading you farther and farther away. Maybe today you found the true hope and you've seen the light of the cross from the empty tomb. Well, my encouragement to you today is to tell that to everyone you know. There are many people today walking this road. There are many people today looking for hope. There are people in this building looking for hope. There are people outside of these walls who are looking for hope. And the truth of the matter is, hope has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And He has taken care of our darkness. He has taken care of our despair. He's given us everything that we need to depend on to get us through this road. So where are you on the road from the cross? Maybe you're here today and you've never been to the cross. You've never been to Calvary. You haven't experienced the true weight of the crushing penalty of your sin. Well, may I be the first to invite you there. May I be the first to invite you to experience the cross, to experience this man we call Jesus. This man who has come from the splendor of heaven itself to be with us, to take on our punishment, to take on our despair, so He could be the one that we depend on and that He would be our true delight, our true joy, our true hope. In just a moment, we will have a time together where we have an opportunity to respond to what the Lord has spoken to us. I will be down front if there is anyone who needs someone to pray with. I would be more than glad to pray with you. My prayer is that as God has spoken to your heart, that you would respond faithfully and obediently. Let's pray. Father, first I just want to thank you for what you have done through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of the cross. Thank you for the truth that is found in the blood that was shed. But also, Lord, thank you for the truth of the empty tomb. Thank you that death did not have the final word. Thank you that night is gone and morning has come. Lord, there are people walking this road from the cross. There are people who are walking in darkness, people who are just walking in despair and hopelessness. There are people who are looking for things to get them through this road, but they're looking for the wrong things. Lord, as these people are walking in darkness, give them the true light. Show them the true hope that is found from the cross. Show them that the things that they face right now, this very moment, is not the end. Lord, for that person who has never been to the cross, all they know is darkness. All they know is being lost. Lord, may today be the day that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you take them to the cross. Show them your Son. Show them that He has come to pay the price for their sins, and that you have brought Him back from the dead victoriously, just to show them that the sacrifice of Christ is enough. That your Son is enough for them. And that He is their only hope of salvation. Move in this place, Lord, in these next few moments. Prepare our hearts as we prepare to observe your table. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you as we begin to take an observance of the Lord's Supper that you open the top flap of your prepackaged elements to reveal the wafer. The Bible says that on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he had taken another Passover with his disciples. And as they were in the upper room, gathered together, the Bible says he took the bread. And as he took the bread and broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." No doubt his disciples had no clue what this man meant. But Jesus, knowing that the scripture said that the suffering servant was to be bruised for our iniquities, crushed for our transgressions, that by his stripes we are healed. The body of Christ that was broken for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the bread. Father, thank you for the body of your Son, who endured the pain and the suffering that we deserved. Thank you for the body that was bruised for us. Thank you for the stripes that heal us. May we never forget the cost that the sin that we have done cost Him. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Take and eat. Now I invite you to remove the second flap as we prepare to take of the cup. The Bible says that Jesus took the cup, said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you." Again, the disciples had no clue what this man was saying. But Jesus knew that the Old Testament itself had testified that life is found in the blood, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. As we sang earlier, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we approach this cup. We thank you for the blood that was shed. We thank you that this blood is strong enough, powerful enough, sufficient enough to cover our sins. Lord, without your blood, there would be no hope for us. And it is through your blood that we have gained true spiritual eternal life. Thank you for the blood. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Take and drink. The Bible says that after they had taken their meal, they had went out to sing a hymn. And I believe that's where we're going to close our time together.